everybody. Welcome back to Story Nerds. I'm Hannah Davis.
And I'm Jessica Kate. And today we are here with special guest Carla Laureano. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We are excited to have you because for as long as we've known Carrie, she has been gushing to us about your books. So,
you know what? I'll have to pay her later for that. No, Carrie's sweet. She's wonderful.
And we're excited about our topic today, too, that we will be chatting with you about. It is about co-worker or office romances. So, Carla, would you like to tell us a little bit about what you write and what brought that topic to mind for you? Because this one was your idea, and I'm so glad you had it.
It was my idea. Well, first of all, I write mostly romance that kind of leans towards women's fiction, though I have written some fantasy as well. I guess that could be my fun fact, because most people don't know that my first series was actually fantasy with a little romance thrown in.
Ooh,
but
I did not know that.
Yeah.
My first series was called The Song of Shara, and it's Celtic fantasy. So I'm going to be re-releasing that in the next year or two, which is kind of fun. But the reason why the idea of office romance came up is because my new book, The Solid Grounds Coffee Company, has to do with two members of a friend group that end up working together in a new business venture. So I love the office romance trope. It's just so much fun to me.
That sounds awesome.
I'm so excited for this topic. I was just telling the ladies before we started recording that it took me all of 37 seconds to come up with about 20 different things I could talk about in this one. So we're going to let Carla go first so that I don't suck up all of the time.
Nerd out time.
What would you like to nerd out over, Carla, with co-worker romances?
Okay, this is maybe one of my favorite books of all time. This is the one that I crawl in bed with when I'm sick and I don't feel like reading anything else, but I just need something that makes me happy and cozy, and that's Stealing Atta by Tamara Lee.
What? Tell us about it, because I haven't read this book, but I have heard it recommended to me before.
Oh, everyone has to go out and read it, because I love Tamara and her books are fantastic. And this is, even though she writes medieval romance now, this is part of a series of chick lit. And it is about a romance novelist who ends up having feelings for her new publisher. So, you know, all of the writers are like, yeah, bring some of that on.
Definitely. That's awesome. So what is it about their office romance that makes it so addictive?
Well, I love it because there's always a little bit of a taboo involved, because you don't want to get into a romance because you have to work with this person. And if it goes really badly, it's going to be terribly awkward around the office all the time, and you're going to have to see them. And so it's that kind of, we shouldn't, like, forbidden push-pull, slow burn kind of romance that I just adore.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to.
Well, it does mean you've got good conflict.
Yeah, it does. And it's just so satisfying when they kind of get over all of their objections and realize that it's worth the risk. And you know, all of the romantics at heart just kind of sigh at that point.
That is awesome. So is there anything that makes this hero especially swoony for tempting Atta?
Oh, Nick. I love Nick. How do I love Nick? I should have gone and just pulled some of my favorite passages. But the thing that I always remember about this book is how Atta is just always referring to his eyes, his dark brown eyes. And let's face it, we don't have a lot of brown-eyed heroes, but they can be really swoony. And she's always referring to his eyes as chocolates. She's just adorable. And she's such a quirky, goofy character that, like, I mean, she's kind of the definition of a hot mess at times. And so I just love her falling all over herself, like, for this really handsome. And they've got a very awkward meeting, first meeting, and she doesn't know who he is. And so it's the perfect you know, meet cute. So I don't want to say too much because I want everyone to go out and read this book for themselves.
You've hooked me.
So, handsome publisher, slow burn romance with chocolate brown eyes. I mean, that's all we really need to say.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm picturing Jude Law in The Holiday, like when you find out that he's a book editor and he puts on his glasses. Oh my gosh.
Yes. I'm rather fond of that one too.
All I can say right now is like, well, okay, there is that. But then you said slow burner and chocolate, and I'm thinking to myself, I would really, really want some nice warm strawberries dipped in chocolate right now. Like that just sounds really good while reading this book.
I could go for that reading any book, really.
True. But those chocolate brown eyes, it just makes perfect sense. I'm going to be eating chocolate at that moment. There's no way that's not happening.
All right. Well, now you're warned so that when you pick up the book, you can have the proper snacks ready.
I will definitely buy the chocolate and do a little melting and pick some strawberries and just, oh, that's just okay. I'm just going to have a moment for here. Okay. Moment over. Time to get over. All right, Jen, what do you have on your nerd out?
So, I warn these guys, I haven't read them the list yet, but before I can talk about my couple that I want to discuss, there's like 15 things I have to mention first, just so it's on record that I love them, they're awesome, but I don't have time to talk about all of them today. So I'm going to start off, I kind of separated them into like just co-worker romance, because there was a lot of things that are like action movies, books, or TV, but it wasn't like an office romance. You know, these people were cops or those kinds of jobs. And then I have a list of office romances, and then I have my ultimate couple. So here we go. You ready? First of all, of course, is The X-Files, then The Hating Game. Oh, actually, that one should be down in my office one. Anyway, North and South, because they're like connected through the mill. They're like not technically co-workers, but you know, pretty similar. Dear Enemy, my favorite ever. Classic book about them working in an orphanage together. Confessions of a Shopaholic, the Janet Ivanovich series, the Fox and No Hair series, and the Stephanie Plum series. Oh, I have to stop.
Yeah,
stop
you don't
breath
have.
Here.
You don't even have a. Yeah, this is a list that is the length of my arm. Which honestly,
Divergent, Chuck.
My arm is already so short. But
Deeks and Kenzie out of NCIS LA. Castle and Beckett, and also Rook and Heat in the book version, like in the new.
I knew that was coming.
Yep. I'm counting the movie Admission with Paul Rudd and Tina Fey because they're connected through Princeton, even though they're not technically co-workers. I'm also counting King Kong because Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson are on a mission together.
Okay, that's
and stretching a little.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the Killjoys TV show. I have Chuck in here twice, so that's how much I love it. Whiskey Cavalier, which is basically Chuck 10 years later without the nerdy parts and more of the Jason Bourne European settings. Then
I'm taking notes,
section,
by the way.
Good.
Well, apparently we'll eventually get to you. Or
in the office setting, we have 2 weeks' notice, Sandy B and Hugh Grant. The Proposal, of course. Hannah called it this morning when I first rang her. She was like, I bet you're talking about The Proposal. It's in the list, but it's not my official couple. Set It Up. Love it. I just printed off the transcript of that entire movie so I could study the dialogue in it. So funny. Suits. Multiple office romances in that. And The West Wing, particularly Josh and Donna out of that. But, drumroll, my ultimate office romance couple... Jim and Pam out of The Office. Of course. Who else could you possibly choose?
The Office. I mean, that's so perfect.
The Office.
Co-workers working, and there is, like, no better couple than The Office.
They're just Jim one of the greatest fictional couples of all time. Like, they're so good. So, and the reasons why they're so good is, like, the same reasons that I just love this trope in general, because I love characters that... often have a history already together because there's already like trust that you can build and break and play with. Whereas if two people are meeting for the first time, like the stories can work, obviously, but you kind of have to quickly accelerate them to a place where there's some kind of emotional intimacy and trust, because that's what you want to mess with in the story, is building that and breaking it. And I love knowing that their romance is involved, you know, they're not just physically attracted to each other, love at first sight. I'm not really into that trope. A heap of people are, but I'm not. I like it when people have fallen in love with their brains before they've fallen in love with their emotions. And that is like, the office setting is just the perfect place for that kind of thing to happen. You get to have like early relationship fights, but like before they're even together, because they're friends, they will often have these spats like they're a couple, but they're not a couple yet. So that's always fun to play with, especially in TV shows. And there's so much at stake, like Carla was saying, you know, there's complications if people work together. So they've got a good reason to stay apart, and it just like helps with the slow burn. Mm-hmm. Jim and Pam in particular, their sense of humor is so funny. Like, oh man, the jokes and the pranks they pull, they make a great team. He's so sweet and thoughtful. It's John Krasinski, so he could be reading a shopping list and we wouldn't watch it. Like, oh my gosh. And especially, like, the whole tone of The Office, it's about, like, the drama of the everyday, you know? Like, the peak drama in The Office is who's going to be the head of the party planning committee. It's about how important the absolutely unimportant, inane things of life are. And so you get to see all those, like, little everyday moments that happen between Jim and Pam that are the actual building blocks of a real relationship, you know? They're not stopping a bus that's got a bomb strapped to it or anything, but they do have to deal with an annoying boss. And
I know what movie you're talking about. Everyone
knows. All know.
I don't know if I agree with that, because I did, and technically they weren't like co-workers, but Sandy B, and I love pretty much every Sandy B movie, but that, yeah, that's down on the list though.
I still like that movie, but but I like Jim and Pam so much more, because you like, you see them and you're like, these guys are going to make it, because they've, you know, they know each other and they've got all that down. So,
well, something I like that, I think, makes them look, feel like real people. And that's kind of, and this isn't my book, but I just finished Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine. I don't know if either of you have read that.
I've heard. Yeah,
I haven't.
I have not read it yet.
It's so quirky and adorable, but it's kind of fun to see. And I wouldn't say it's quite a romance, even though you kind of get a hint of that towards the end. But it's really fun to see them just, she thinks he's a dorky IT guy and he thinks she's a weirdo, and somehow they become friends and they kind of become confidants. And so like, they feel like real people that you could walk into any office building and maybe they would be there. And that's what's always so fun about the office romance trope, besides the forced proximity, because, you know, as a writer, I love when you stick to people who hate each other or maybe don't get along, but they have no choice but to be in the same place. Yeah.
Yes. I just pitched 6 ideas to my editor and all of them were love-hate relationships. yes, that's awesome.
All right. Well, we are going to rock and roll and continue on with mine, with my choice. Okay, so we have a book, we have a TV show, and we have a movie. And I was trying to rack my brain. I have some issues with some of the coworker romances that happen, because the idea of, like, especially in this Me Too area, if you're under the authority of somebody, I have a really hard time with that. I'm like, I can't get behind it. And it's a very tricky situation. So I think that that is what makes some of those really good. But I think it's always, you have to like play that line so carefully. One of the ones that I absolutely loved was kind of perfect, because it was this guy stepping in for a girl's job when she leaves in the movie is No Reservations. If you have not seen that chick flick, you have to go watch it. It used to be on Netflix, and I think they took it off recently, and I don't – yeah. But go check it out. It is Catherine Zeta-Jones and Aaron Eckhart. Catherine Zeta-Jones plays the head chef of a very good restaurant in New York City. I believe it's New York City. And her – she ends up acquiring her niece when her sister dies. So she's supposed to take care of her niece. And
so this is like a sudden parent thing. Now I even more want to watch this.
It's so good.
We have like every favorite trope in the world in this movie. I really do.
Sudden parent, and Aaron Eckhart comes in to take over for Catherine Zeta-Jones' character as the head chef while she's away. Technically, he's hired as the sous chef, and she is like, no, I don't want him. And then she ends up needing to take some time to like be with her niece. And so she's trying to work at the same time. Basically, he's her sous chef, regardless of whether or not she wants him there. It was not her choice. And they slowly develop a relationship, and there are just some really, really sweet moments in there. There's one moment where the daughter, or I shouldn't say the daughter, but the niece runs away, and he's helping, like, they're searching for her together, and he's a very calming factor, and he's like, we're going to find her. And then there's another moment where they're alone now at night after putting her to bed, and they have this whole fun day with them all three together. And then at night, he lets her taste his saffron sauce. And it was, I don't think I have ever loved food so much in my life than in that moment. Now, don't get me wrong, I love food, but I am not a foodie. I love to eat. I do not know the difference between whatever kind of cooking utensil you give me, I probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Since we watched Julie and Julia for a podcast episode, I've been so much more into food movies now too, and I actually cook more.
There are some good ones, but that one's particularly romantic. No Reservations has like kind of an old fashioned romance feel to it.
Yes,
in some ways, and that's kind of what I love about it. Yeah.
It is. It is a very old, I'm like, okay, I never would have pegged that until you had said that. But yes, that's probably why I love it so much, because I love a good classic movie. And so this one in particular is, oh, that scene where he's feeding her food, and it's just like, this food has never looked so seductive in my life.
Well, that's kind of what's so fun about writing foodie novels, because you have the opportunity, and there's actually one of those scenes in the Solid Grounds Coffee Company too.
I was going to say this, like, so perfectly in. Why don't we just segue right into you talking about your new book, which is basically a romance, a coworker romance about a coffee shop.
Oh my gosh, I have so many of our favorite tropes in this book, and I didn't really think that I did until I started writing down all of the ideas of things we could talk about, and I'm like, okay, so they're already friends, check. If you've read any of the other books in the series, Brian is actually the best friend of Alex, the hero from the first book, and then Anna is the best friend of Rachel, which is the heroine of the first book, and so we kind of get to see Anna and Brian interact through the first two books. And what's kind of fun about that, as opposed to the ones where they hate each other or they're really, you know, denying it, they both kind of acknowledge that they're interested in the other people, in the other person, but they don't want to act on it because, as Anna says, it would be like that really awkward storyline with Ross and Rachel and Friends.
Oh, especially in season 3.
Yeah.
And they break up, and it's just so bad. And I don't like watching those episodes. It just makes me so sad.
Exactly. And so they're kind of like, well, yeah, hey, there's something there, but we don't want to do anything about it because, you know, our friends will have to choose sides, and it will be really awkward, and we still have to see each other because we're both part of this group that's really tight. And so, no, we're not going to do that. But Anna then gets laid off temporarily from her job because she sticks to her principles and won't cover up something that one of her publicity clients did. And then Brian, after having been gone rock climbing, presumably in Colombia, for like 8 months, comes back and says, hey guys, I bought a coffee farm and I'm starting a coffee roaster. But of course he doesn't have any idea. He knows how to roast coffee, but he doesn't have any idea of how to run a business. So Anna, being a good friend, of course, out of the goodness of her heart, has nothing to do with the fact that she thinks this guy's like, you know, pretty awesome, decides to step in and help him out. So then we get the coworker office romance element of it. So Yeah, I guess I just put every one of my favorite tropes into this book. Because it was so much fun, and it's probably the fastest book that I've ever written, and it was great fun because they're great characters, and there's that whole we shouldn't but we want to but we shouldn't because this could be awkward but we have to be together every day to work on this business. It's like, it's my favorite kind.
And especially when they've been friends before starting this business together, that makes it so much more trickier too, where it's just like, well, we've had this relationship before, now we have a good thing going. And am I right that this is kind of like a make or break for both of them as far as careers go? Like, he had like bought this coffee shop, or am I kind of taking that into my own mind?
No, and it's not even really a coffee shop. It's a roastery to where he's taking green beans from his farm, but he's sunk his entire life savings into a coffee farm in Colombia, and it doesn't produce enough beans to really pay him back. The only way he's going to make any money off the venture and not be completely broke for the rest of his life is by roasting them himself and then selling them, because of course roasted beans are worth a lot more than green beans. And so he spent some time learning how to roast, and you know, he knows how to do it, but he doesn't know how to get it out there. And for Anna, you know, this is what she does. So if she can't make this business work, how does this look to her boss that she wants to bring her back in after her enforced time off? You know, she's thinking, this could be my chance to show what I can do from the ground up. And like, maybe I can branch out into marketing in my business. And so it really is kind of make or break for both of them in their careers. Even though they're kind of in a stuck place in their careers, you know?
Mm. That sounds so good. Awesome.
Everything you have said is making me want to read this.
Well, that's kind of the idea. So I've done my job.
Well done.
Okay. Thank you.
For all the foodies, I want to know your research process into coffee roasting. Because I have a couple of people that I know who have done it's not the microbrewery, but what's it called when it's a coffee? It's like a coffee roaster, right? The
micro roasting, yeah.
Micro roasting. And so
small batch roasting.
Exactly. And so I know a couple of people, but I don't understand anything about the process. Like, I want to know what was your process like when you had to research this?
Well, I started with some books that were aimed more towards the coffee shop and the coffee roaster owner. So really technical, getting into the science behind what happens to beans when you roast them and how it's done, and you know, the differences in varieties of beans from where they come in the world and how they have to be treated down to how much humidity, like just all of the details that went into coffee roasting. And then, you know, I read up on some of the barista stuff as well, even though that doesn't come into the book as much. There are details here and there that I peppered in, so I had to know what I was talking about. And then there's some really cool, I mean, YouTube has everything now. So there is a really cool coffee roasting course that the name is slipping my mind at the moment, but they walk you through everything from the beginning of selecting what kind of roaster you're going to use to how to build a profile to roast beans and from start to finish. And they even go into some of the marketing and everything. It's basically like, if you wanted to start a roastery, however big, you could watch this YouTube series and do it, which is essentially what my characters were doing. So it was perfect. So I spent like every afternoon watching YouTube videos, and we're talking hours and hours of these. So I did not actually roast my own beans, even though I tend to be a pretty method writer. Because about this time, I know this is terrible, I had to quit caffeine. I just couldn't do caffeine anymore. And so that kind of...
I have gotten to that point too, you guys.
Yeah.
It's so sad. I cannot handle... My body can't handle caffeine like it used to anymore. So it's just... It's depressing.
No, it literally gives me anxiety. And so, like, there's some good decafs out there, but I couldn't do all of the in-depth personal research that I would have liked to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That I just find that so fascinating, and I'm just not even a foodie, so that was fun. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Really quick before we go, where can people find you and find your new book and connect with you?
Well, you can always find me on my website, which is carlaloriano.com. And then I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Carla Loriano, author on both of those. Pretty easy to find. And then as far as the books go, you can find them pretty much anywhere books are sold. So your local Christian bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all of the other online retailers. So it should be available pretty widely.
Woohoo! And you're with Tyndale, right?
I am with Tyndale, yes.
Woo! We love Tyndale. Tyndale's always a great publishing house.
I love Tyndale, too. And I'm not just saying that. I really, really do. I have such a great team, and these books would not be what they are without my team, who just works so hard and loves them so much and, you know, wants to test the recipes because they sound good and things like that. Like, hey, do you have any recipes for that?
That sounds so fun. I loved that. Yeah. I think in Jess's, what was it, your first or your second book, there was a recipe, an Australian recipe that you used.
We were talking about it, but we ended up running out of pages in the
back
of the book. So if you want to know how to make Anzac Bickies, you just have to ask me and I'll tell you Mama's recipe.
Since we're talking about it, I feel the need to put this on record because I get tons of emails about why do I not actually put recipes in my book. And that's because, for one, I know I have all of these issues while I write foodie books. For one, I'm like gluten and grain free. So it's very difficult to make some of these recipes that I talk about to where I could eat and test them myself and know if they were any good. And for another, I live in Colorado. I live at 6,000 feet. And so everything is off. I have to change all my baking recipes. The times even for like sauteing vegetables are way off. So
that's so weird.
Yes, because
I did not know that.
Yeah, water boils at 202 degrees Fahrenheit here instead of 212. And so that affects how long it takes to cook everything. So it takes like 25% longer to cook anything here. It takes 25% longer to boil water, you know, just all of those things. So it would just be so difficult to get a recipe that would work for people. And so I would rather point them to ones that I like on the internet than give them ones that maybe didn't work and have them be upset that they spent time and money on a recipe that didn't work. And I'd be like, hey, you know, what's in Colorado? I don't know what to tell you.
Go to 6,000 feet and try it.
I mean, exactly. That's so weird. I was in Denver over, let's see, just sometime last spring, early summer, late spring this last year in 2019. And I did cook in Denver. And that just never crossed my mind. I didn't even think about that. But I was just trying to think of like, okay, what did I even make? I made chicken. But I don't remember if I boiled. I don't think I boiled anything. Like, I never thought that that's so different. That's so strange.
Well, and for people that can cook and they kind of just cook by feel, it probably wouldn't make a huge difference. But if you're following a recipe that says saute vegetables for 5 minutes, sauteing vegetables for 5 minutes are going to be hard as a rock, you know? so it's so hard to know on the spectrum how to write instructions for recipes. And I had to completely relearn how to cook and how to bake when we moved from California to Colorado. And so it's taken me 13 years to really get a good handle on it, I think.
The fun facts of the world, you guys. It is different to cook in Colorado than it is anywhere else in the world. I am, my mind is blown today.
So if you go on a ski vacation, expect everything to take forever.
Okay. Maybe that's why it's so expensive to go on a ski vacation. Or, you know, it's just because it's expensive. But, oh, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Carla. We have appreciated having you. Jess, before we go, let's go ahead and remind our listeners where they can find us. If you did not listen to our announcement in December, this is our first episode with a guest as the official podcast of Reading is My Superpower. Woohoo!
Yes, it is. Well, it's the second one we'll release. The very first one is going to be the launch party. Now you will have heard it already. Launch party for my new book, A Girl's Guide to the Outback. This is our first return to regular programming, I guess you could say.
And now we return to your regular scheduled programming. Your regular scheduled programming.
And it means that you can engage with Carla over at the Reading is My Superpower blog, because that is how we got the connection. I think Carrie was having Carla over on the blog and said, hey, do you want to come on the podcast?
And I'm so glad she did, because this is
Sorry, oh, say that again.
I'm so glad she did, because you guys are a blast. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Yay. So there will be a blog post featuring all of Carla's stuff. There will be a Story Nerds link in that blog post, but make sure you go ahead and comment on that blog post. Also, we are still hanging out at our Facebook place, just Story Nerds on Facebook. So we'll post that on our Facebook page too. And we can talk a little bit more on that page and post all the gifts you want, because we love a good gift. Yes.
We'll be asking, what is your favorite coworker romance? So bring your gifts, bring your pictures of book covers. We will be chatting about this extensively. So jump on over there. On Instagram, you can just follow the Story Nerds hashtag. We post to our personal Instagram accounts. Mine is at Jessica Kate Writing for both Facebook and Insta. Hannah's is
Hannah Davis Author for both Facebook and Instagram as well. So make sure to catch us on social media. And we just want to give everyone a huge thank you for listening. Thank you to Carla for being our guest. And it's just been such a great first episode back, or I guess I should say second episode, but first episode featuring our regular scheduled programming with a guest.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next episode.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.